Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Dynamite! Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel as well, live. And then if you're listening tomorrow on the Fight Game Media free feed, we're there too. So want to thank you all for joining.
We're live now. We're dead tomorrow. That's how this goes.
Recorded tomorrow.
Oh, okay, never mind.
It's a different version of the word live. I'm in a good mood tonight. So you know, if you tuned in for Cranky Paul, I'm sorry if I disappoint you. But I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I'm in a good mood. I'm about to have a very tough week, which I'll talk about at the end of the show. But for now, I'm doing great. So Jeff. Got some news this week.
You gonna ask me how I'm doing?
I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Let's go.
You got a fun week coming up too. I wish I was doing what you're doing instead of what I'm going to be doing.
compulsive gambling? That's what you wish you were doing? Okay.
Absolutely. Oh
yeah,
my
I
God.
Guess so.
Yeah, Phil Ivey going or not? Phil Ivey going for a bracelet tonight. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Our friend Ryan Frederick's watching it right now.
I'm told we're not on YouTube.
What? Huh?
Are we not on YouTube? Do you have it up?
I don't have it up.
Oh,
why
sometimes
would I?
You do. Sometimes you do. I notice you commenting sometimes.
Let oh no, no, no. You. I have the chat thread open. That's what I have. I never have the show
okay, let me streaming. Just check this out here. While we're talking. But yeah, no,
wait,
I saw
we are. Okay.
So our friend's watching. We are on YouTube?
Yes, that's what Goldface says.
Okay. All right. Never mind. John's wrong. Okay. Anyways, back to business, back to news. So Artie Evans, recently of TNA Impact. I didn't really know that he worked there until I found out he'd left. So,
no, he got picked up relatively quickly after he quit WWE and, rather infamous fashion.
Okay, I'm
well, I'll tell you the story. He wrote a Hall of Fame speech that I believe Bret Hart was reading, and Vince McMahon said he never wanted his name mentioned, and Bret Hart mentioned his name, and it was on the thing, and Vince just chewed him out, and apparently Artie Evans just looks at him and goes, "Well, I hope you've learned a very valuable lesson," and then just leaves.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, and then he went to TNA and quit there, and he just got hired here in AEW now.
So he quit. Okay, I thought they let him go, but he quit TNA.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so, what does he do? He's a creative guy.
Yeah. Okay. You know, writing, creative stuff, producing sometimes. Yeah. It's interesting. This is definitely a Jimmy Jacobs call.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah, he formerly from TNA. So if people don't like the Jimmy Jacobs WWE influence, they may not like this.
I don't know. You can't say that because it's one of those things like especially like when I was talking about, you know, trying to go to WWE, I wasn't going there to do my strength. I wasn't going there to write comedy. Okay. I was going there to write professional wrestling as I liked it and see if I could write decent promos and stuff like that. Artie Evans is possibly my favorite comedy wrestler ever.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know he was a wrestler.
Archibald Peck or Mixed Martial Archie, if you've heard of them.
I've heard the name Archibald Peck, but I'm not sure if I've ever seen
it. Yeah, he had like a marching band drum major gimmick. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, he is a fantastic comedic mind.
Okay.
Which is why I go, man, I love this pickup. I love all of this, except if he's here to write the ha-has. And I give him the benefit of the doubt that it's not just for that. It's for other things. But
Oh, okay. I've definitely seen.
He was in Ring of Honor as Barrister Robert Evans for a while, I believe.
No, I mean, he was Artie Evans.
Artie Evans.
He wrestled Moose at Final Battle in 2014. He wrestled for the Jay Lethal for the
ROH. All the people in the chat are reminding you of places you, the ROH historian, have seen him in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, I have. I mean, but I just forgot.
That's fine. There's a match of his with Chuck Taylor where there's this giant oil painting on the wall and they're pretending that they're throwing each other into the lake. That is just absolutely fantastic. He was big in Chikara as well.
I'm not a Chikara guy.
I started watching and I went, okay. I think he's a benefit, but it's also still one of those things where I look at the people that they have there, and it's mostly WWE/TNA circa 2019 type people. And, I don't give up hope, but I also don't trash it. It's just one of those things where I kind of go, it makes sense as a creative move. And it's, I'm a person who doesn't mind a lot of voices in the room, as long as you have a strong voice that has a certain vision to it. And that to me is the problem. The problem to me isn't guys you hire to help write or give creative ideas or whatnot. The problem is, and this goes to what I was going to talk about anyway, so I'm going to do it right now.
Why not? Yeah.
I don't think Tony Khan has a vision of what he wants AEW to be, other than not WWE. And by that, I mean, look, I get that can be a vision in and of itself, but I'm saying he doesn't have a creative roadmap to get there. His roadmap is, wow, I really liked Ring of Honor. so I'm going to do a lot of that stuff. And I liked this Dynamite. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trashing the Dynamite. I'm just saying as an overall, if I'm talking in the world of television, the showrunners there hold that power because they have a creative vision in mind for what they have the characters and what they want the show to say and things of that nature. I don't know that Tony Khan necessarily has that. And I don't know if anybody in his inner circle has that necessarily in terms of that. They just want to put on a good wrestling show. And there's nothing wrong with that up until the point where there's something wrong with it. And if you get my drift, it's like you can put on weeks and weeks of good matches. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a goal in mind, and he does for like 3 or 4 people, but he has a roster of 120 people. And that requires you knowing where you're going with all those characters at some time.
Yeah. I can't really argue with anything you said there. I think that, like, I don't know if tonight's show, like, it's probably too early for him to have any footprint on anything that happened tonight, but I do, like, I really
he was
did
working
like
over he was
show.
Working over the weekend on the shows.
Was he? Okay.
Yes.
Because there's stuff on this show that I really, really liked.
Influence he has either. I think it's just by committee.
I'm gonna tell you, I think you're gonna like this show.
Yeah.
If you watch it, I think it's going to remind you of the AEW that you liked a couple of years ago.
If you like your indie super shows, you're going to like this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not a lot of promo work. I mean, there's some promos. There's not a lot of character work per se. There's not a lot of angles going on here necessarily.
Well, until the main event.
Until the main event. Yes.
I will say that what you were just talking about there, and it kind of hit me what this reminded me of. It reminded me a lot of like a really good ROH show. And not so much the WWE. Like, there was aspects of WWE in here, and as we go through the show, we'll see what they were.
Well, Ring of Honor had, I mean, it is a compliment in so far as Ring of Honor had the privilege of being edited in post.
Yes.
So they could tighten it up. So what you're saying is it's kind of a tight show, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I think for me, I had a point and I just lost it just right there. No, it's not that. I lost it. It'll come back to me at some point.
All right. The other news this week, and it's kind of funny how fast this all happened. I think it was like Friday afternoon, we kind of got word that Ricochet's contract is coming to an end, and word is that he gave notice to WWE that he wasn't going to re-sign. And then something contradictory came from, I think it was Dave Meltzer, says, well, yeah, no, it's true, his contract's up, but he hasn't made a decision. And then I think it was Sean Ra, no, it was Wrestling Purists that contradicted that,
yeah,
and said, no, he's definitely given notice, and he's going to be leaving. And then Dave Meltzer, I guess, did a little bit more research, and he said, it looks like he's going to be leaving. It's not official, but, you know, Raw could be his last show. And then Monday Night Raw comes, and they, you know, he was all over the show, and they did an angle where he stood up for Ilya Dragunov, and he kind of saved him from a post-match beatdown. He actually looked really good in this segment, and I'm like, wow, that's a weird way to write him off. Mm-hmm. And then they go backstage, and they wrote him off. Mm-hmm. They redid the lawn dart spot from WCW, and then they redid the CM Punk, the Jack Perry hook spot from All In, and put him through a windshield, and that was it. And then he went off in an ambulance. They had Samantha Irvin in tears riding off with him, and everyone's okay, you know, he's done, he's going to AEW. And we don't really know when his contract is up. Originally, when they said it was later this summer, I don't know what that means. But the way it was done, it was also done that, you know what? I mean, they could bring him back. I mean, you know, if he was going to resign, I don't think he's resigned. I think he's going to AEW or New Japan, probably AEW. But it's possible they bring him back. And they even announced on Twitter today that he's out for an indeterminate period of time. But I mean, if he was,
I think we're still negotiating.
It's very possible. It's very possible. Yeah. So yeah, I don't.
There's a certain and it's been going around, a certain buzz, because Will Ospreay had an interview where he talked about Ricochet being misused in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of disagree.
Oh, I do too.
I think he's ranked right where he should be. I think he's a guy who puts over other athletic, high-flying guys with more personality like Logan Paul and can still put on bangers of matches on Raw week after week. I think Ricochet is one of the best small arena-type acts I've seen live. I mean, especially in Reseda, especially like that. I think he's one of the best high flyers I've ever seen. But I strongly disagreed with Dave Meltzer when he said he was a can't miss when he signed with WWE, because he can't talk, or he's not a good talker. Let's put it that way. Done some talking in pre-tapes, and you can pre-tape him pretty well. But we've seen what he can do on top of a promotion in Lucha Underground. I think he comes in, if he comes into AEW, don't get me wrong, he's not going to be Matt Sydal. He's going to get his one banger with Ospreay, probably on a pay-per-view main event. He'll probably get a Dynamite or a secondary one with Phoenix. Maybe. And then he's going to be the top of that glut of young, acrobatic high flyers on your Rampages and Collisions.
Not so young.
Well, not him, but the others.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he'll be in that Kyle O'Reilly.
Top Flight.
Yeah, well, probably above.
Action Andretti, Commander. You're going to get those types of high-flying matches. He'll be on top of them. He'll be in the occasional ladder match to do high spots in terms of the casino token or whatever the hell they call them.
He'll be somewhere between Kyle O'Reilly and Orange Cassidy. Somewhere between those two.
Be half a step below Orange Cassidy, but yes. He'll be right. But this will be after the Ospreay match. He'll be pushed like a god until he does the Ospreay match, and then it's down to the mean.
I if you had asked me before he signed with AEW or with WWE, like how he would do, I think how he did would actually surprise me. He won the Intercontinental Championship. He won the U.S. Championship. I'm getting this from Wiki, not memory.
He almost died in his first match in WWE because it was that ladder match at NXT in New Orleans.
Yep.
I was sitting next to our friend Jason. I went, he's going to die at his first match in WWE.
He won the NXT North American Championship. He won the Speed Championship, the SmackDown World Cup, the SmackDown Tag Team Championship number one contender tournament with Braun, the Dusty Rhodes Classic with Aleister Black, now Malakai Black. I forgot about that one. And he was the NXT year-end breakout star of the year in 2018, and he won a Slammy. Or no, a Bumpy, sorry. I don't remember this.
And if Tony, I mean, yeah, you can say, oh, well,
moment of the half year.
He'll be able to have his bangers, which is what everybody wants, which is what Ospreay is talking about. But then he's going to have the same issue that other guys who are highly touted get when they get to AEW. If you don't have your own creative vision there, here we go. He's kind of stealing my thunder a bit. If you don't have your own creative vision and you don't go in there to Tony Khan and fight for it, Tony Khan's not going to sit around thinking of ideas for you. He is not a guy that is scripting out. He goes, hey, you're in a program with Ospreay. You two figure out an angle for it.
So here's the counterpoint. Maybe Ricochet just wants money and to go out there and have good matches. Maybe
I have no problem with that. Get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, so if he
I don't want to hear from the AEW faithful about how he's being used properly now. He is perfectly going to be used as he was in WWE. He is going to be the high-flying attraction.
The only difference is he won't be doing bad interviews backstage. He'll just go out there and do his matches. Like, that's it.
We don't know that. He might be doing like best friends types angles in the back and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I don't
ever say he won't be doing bad interviews somewhere.
Can I give you a hot take? Everyone raves about Ospreay Ricochet from like 7 years ago that I don't think I ever saw. There would be infinitely more interest in a Logan Paul Ricochet rematch than there would be in an Ospreay Ricochet rematch.
Because Logan Paul would bring you into the building with his mouth.
Yes, yeah.
I like Logan Paul as a wrestler.
The Ospreay Ricochet
terrible human being. Love him as a wrestler.
The Ospreay Ricochet match will probably be better. You know, I would think
the one that I always get upset about is that was it 6-star match out of Reseda, the 6-man that I was in the same building as Dave for.
Oh, was it like the Bucks?
The Bucks and Adam Cole, I think, versus Ospreay, Seidel, and Ricochet. I think that was it.
Sounds like that's probably the one that inspired
Jeff Hawkins style cartoon
of Dave throwing out stars.
Oh, Dave with a fan next to himself, just fanning himself off pretty much with his notes.
I mean, I just can't comment because I didn't see the match. But
And then I watched the throngs of people go up to Dave. Is that a 5-star match?
So Dave's like, no, 6. So this all brings us to tonight, and you said, before we get ready to breaking the show down.
I remembered my point, by the way.
Okay, we'll tell your
point. And it'll tie into this because I think I think we're getting now. You know, on television, when we were growing up, November and February were very exciting times.
Yeah, sweeps.
Sweeps weeks.
Yep.
We're getting the equivalent of sweeps for AEW as they try and boost their ratings for a deal with somebody.
Yeah.
Because we're getting MJF versus Roosh commercial free next week. We've announced Blood and Guts when it's far too soon, storyline-wise, for Blood and Guts, but we're going to have it anyways.
I think the exclusive window's up at the end of this week, by the way.
Yeah, but it feels like we're throwing a lot of stuff out there to try and draw viewers and possibly also trying to steal a little bit of the momentum away from NXT, even though it's not a head-to-head competition. I get it. But maybe they have to be watching that number tick up every so often. You can't deny that.
A little bit this week, but...
But that's what that's a lot what this show felt like to me, was a lot of sweeps week
type
stuff.
To me, it just felt like...
It was a good show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, halfway through the show, I was really liking it a lot.
What was your favorite match tonight? Let's start there.
The 6-man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that women's match more than I thought I would.
Okay, so I liked the women's match, but it was not at all what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And that's not to say it wasn't good. It was.
And I think that's why I liked it so much was I didn't think it was going to be that at all.
Well, and I'm not even going to say it was better or worse than I thought it was going to be. It was just really different. And I will also say, if you told me what the match was going to be going in, I'd have thought that's not going to be good. But it was. So
you mean the 6-man party match, right?
No. I'm talking about the
But I meant for your favorite match, the 6-man, the Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
And so, okay.
And
cool.
If you had asked me before the show, I would have guaranteed you that Will Ospreay and Phoenix was going to be the best match on the show, and it was not.
No,
but it I'm glad
still
it was
good, still fun.
It was good, and it was exactly what it needed to be to set up the angle that they did afterwards, which was more important in the big picture, in my opinion. So, yeah, I thought they nailed that. It was the best Jericho segment I ever saw because I skipped it.
Oh, does that mean I have to recap it?
You do, yeah.
Okay, I tweeted out my view.
I tweeted out my view of the segment.
It was actually a somewhat. There's a moment in it that went unnoticed by a lot of people that I watched. It just warmed the cockles of my heart. But yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You'll talk about it, but I. yeah. And then I thought. There were aspects of the show, just little things that I didn't like, but in the big picture, I liked most of it, so I kind of overlooked it. But probably when we're breaking the show down, I'll bring them up. So, I thought it was.
And they played at least one thing from social media on there that was a pretty decent promo.
That Mina thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they also showed stuff from Collision that I haven't seen yet, so that helped.
Yes.
You know, it helped my enjoyment of the show. It helped me understand why certain things were happening because I was confused.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was, I had no idea why Dustin Rhodes was out there. I still don't, but, you know.
I have no idea why he bled.
I have no idea how he was bled.
The worst part of this show for me was this opening angle. I got to be honest. I hated this.
We'll talk about it. Well, it started out good. I thought Swerve's promo was good.
Swerve was fine.
Yeah, so Swerve.
It's just everything after that made no sense whatsoever to me. But
so we got a cold open. Swerve with Nana coming out, and he plugs his match with the Billy Goat, Will Ospreay, which Billy Goat stands for greatest of all time. So he's calling Will the greatest of all time. That's cool. He calls them the biggest stars of this generation. That's a bit of a stretch. He said they're colliding for all the gold. So I assume that means both titles on the line.
That means Will's title's on the line too.
I don't think it is, but
I don't think it is either. I guess
we'll find out. He says, so two killers, but then he says it's more like one killer. He said, I saw him 10 years ago and told him when he developed a killer instinct, no one could stop him. Then last year he shows up as an assassin and he got the job done against Kenny Omega. Same thing at Revolution against Takeshita and then at Dynasty against Bryan Danielson. But at Double or Nothing, not really. I mean, he won a title at Double or Nothing, so I'm not exactly sure what he was getting at, but he says, I'm not a target you want to hesitate on. They call me Killshot because if you don't pull the trigger, I will. And he says, I respect that you're a fighting champion. You're defending tonight against Phoenix, unlike some EVPs. And that's when the segment went off the rails a little bit. we hear over the mic, I can't remember what...
Hold up.
And I'm trying to figure out who it was. It didn't sound like either of the Bucks. And sure enough, it was Okada. And then Okada goes in the mic and he says, whose house? And then there was some light, Swerve's house. And then he said, it's my house, bitch. And then he hands the mic over to Nick. And Nick apologizes for his language. He says, we're out here to address business. Look how dominant the Elite have been. We took out Omega. We helped break Eddie Kingston's leg at Anarchy in the Arena. We destroyed Team AEW. Half the roster's gone because of us. They didn't even bring up FTR, which is weird. Mm-hmm. He says it feels pretty damn good. And all the trolls and the bots still doubt us. I'm like, what is he talking about? the wrestlers in the back don't think we're violent enough. Well, guess what? We challenge AEW's best in the most violent match in AEW, Blood and Guts. And this got like, they set this up to get like a huge pop, and it was like it was like nothing
because it's not earned.
Yeah, exactly. He says. Then Matt gets the mic and he says, "And Swerve, this is where you come into the picture. Listen, we don't exactly love all the things you said about us, but despite all that, we dig you and we like your style. You're young and you're a champion, just like us." We
that got a laugh out of me. That got a huge laugh.
Yeah. Well, they're the young bucks.
Not so young bucks.
True. He says, we came down here to ask you a question. Do you want to stand by winners and do you want to stand by us, stand with winners, with champions? Do you want to change the world? Swerve, traditionally, Blood and Guts is 5-on-5. Will you be our fifth man? And to make it official, I want to see what you look like in our sneakers. He hands him a pair of sneakers. Swerve takes them, looks at them, and he says, First off, I don't wear size nines. Second of all, pearl necklaces, no one wears those anymore. Third of all, I'm a businessman. I do my own stuff. Says I'm also a philanthropist. So he gives the shoes to Nana. Nana tosses them into the crowd. Some fan grabs them. And Matt says, ooh, what's that buzzing around? Oh, it's an injury bug. And it just landed on our champion. And they all get ready to fight. And who should make the save but the Acclaimed? I'm like, oh, good God. Please don't let it be Swerve, the Acclaimed, and Daddy Ass against the Elite at Blood and Guts. That can't be it, right? It can't be.
It's right? Swerve and the Acclaimed and somebody else versus the Elite, because it's going to be five on five.
Well, if it's 5-on-5, the Elite need a fifth.
It's going to be Hangman.
That's what I think, too. Yeah,
that's what Hangman. I think. And they'll get them in.
Be the Acclaimed. It's got to be somebody else.
It's going to be the Acclaimed.
Oh, my God, no. So they start brawling. Chris Daniels comes out to break it up. he didn't break it up physically. He broke it up with his microphone.
Yes, he said, stop fighting. We have matches tonight. And I was just like, what authority do you have over the EVPs in the ring to stop people from fighting right now?
He's got all the authority over them, but he's got no authority over MJF and Roosh, apparently. But here he's got the authority. So he says, we got two title matches tonight. And our opening contest is a qualifying match for the ladder match of Forbidden Door. He said a lot more words than that, but I simplified it.
They are having him over talk because the taped segment that they did with him.
Yeah.
Just like exposition.
He's growing out a full beard now, and it's weird. He looks like somebody, and I can't put my finger on it. But he looks like way more of a mid-carder than
he's starting to look like Paul Ellering is what he's starting to look
Yes, that's it. Thank you. I couldn't because it's been a while since Paul
Ellering. Chris Daniels might be the fifth man.
Oh, God. Oh, no. You might
for control
right.
of the company.
Oh, my God. He says, all of you get out of that ring and backstage this very minute, except for you, Jack Perry, because you're wrestling in this match right now against this man. And Jack Perry's all upset. Like he didn't know he had a match. And
even though it was announced.
Even though they're the EVPs and they have headsets, and I'm sure they know exactly who, like when the front. Anyways, he starts taking off his clothes and out comes Dustin Rhodes. So they have a match.
did have a match.
I mean, it's Dustin Rhodes, okay? And I love Dustin Rhodes. And he's bleeding like seconds.
Dustin Rhodes wanted to have a house show match from 1984 Tupelo, Mississippi.
And Jack Perry was right there with him, sleeping way through this match.
I am like, number one, they aren't doing much other than bleeding. Number two, they're bleeding. Why are we bleeding in this match? Are we telling the story that Jack Perry and them are being vicious? Not really. It's just Dustin wanted to bleed. Okay, great. You know, it was a match that happened. Dustin's still great, but, you know, when was his last big win?
Who, Dustin? Yes. He had a bunch of wins this year, believe it or not.
I meant his last big win.
Earlier this year?
He's had smaller wins.
Yeah, you know what? Remember he had a world title match?
Let's get to the point.
He didn't have a world title match. He deserved a world title match, and they wouldn't give him one.
This match needed to tell a story about Jack Perry, and it didn't.
True. So he beat Johnny TV on Collision. He beat The Butcher.
Let's get back to my better point here, shall we?
All right. Yeah, I guess he didn't have any big wins this year.
We need to get Jack Perry out there as a loose cannon kind of figure where he's a violent man who can't be restrained. And we got Dustin bleeding, but we basically have him bleeding because he bladed. I mean,
I don't even know what happened. Like all of a sudden he's bleeding. Jack Perry did.
There's a missing turnbuckle story in here.
Yeah. He took out the mat at ringside. So it was cement and he actually took the first bump into it. But then later on, Dustin took a bump into it, teased the count out spot. If you didn't watch Jack Perry in New Japan, this was every Jack Perry in New Japan match.
Yes.
It was three stars, and it was him just sleepwalking his way through and getting the win. The only thing that was missing was Evil and his henchmen interfering, you know, but other than that, it was the same match.
You know what this needed? This needed Chris Daniels to stop the match because Jack Perry was kicking too much ass.
But he wasn't. That's the problem.
I know, but what yeah. I'm saying is, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, Jack yeah. Perry beats on him and beats on him and beats on him, and then could, Dustin becomes a bloody mess.
And you could even have Dustin like, no, no, you're not stopping this, and then he just takes him out.
Yes, I mean, this yeah. is very much a new, and yes, yeah. the ending was very much New Japan with the middle finger of defiance,
yeah.
and then
yeah, flipped him off. And, yeah, so yeah. that was the finish. Dustin flipped him off, and then Perry hit him with a V trigger and got the win. But I mean, before that, it was just, I guess, it was like, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes. And I mean, it wasn't a great match. It was fine, but you know, it was Dustin, and I love Dustin, so I was fine. Like, I didn't hate the match, but I didn't like
either, but I wanted more out of it. I wanted to know why I'm watching this right now, other than to see Jack Perry. This was the TNT title eliminator type of thing. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So you know, now,
what is this doing for Jack Perry? Because this is the whole reason we're having this match on there, is that Jack Perry is going to be a main eventer. Jack Perry is probably going to win this title. Let's establish a thesis. Let's establish a working statement for what this Jack Perry character is going to be. And this was the time to do it.
And basically what Jack Perry is he's a chicken shit. He can barely eat.
He's Jack Perry with a jacket and some jokes. That's what he is.
Yeah. So they showed a package from Collision. Orange Cassidy beat Kyle O'Reilly in the main event, and then he was attacked by the Callis family, which it's funny because I actually predicted this. I don't know if I did it on this show, but I definitely did it in our Discord. Somebody was saying, oh, Kyle's going to beat Orange Cassidy. I'm like, are you kidding me? Orange is going to beat Kyle, and then they're going to get attacked by the Callis family, and then Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly are going to team up next week on Dynamite. That's exactly what I said last week, and that's exactly what happened. Except I didn't know that Mark Briscoe was going to team with them, and that was something else. So they're attacked by the Callis family. Willow made the save. And, so we're definitely setting up that mixed tag match that I talked about, Orange and Willow against Chris and Trent, which leads to a segment, an interview segment with Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Mark Briscoe with Remarkable Renee Paquette. And she says, on Saturday, you guys were fighting each other, but now you're teaming together. You know, how's that going to work? And Kyle says, we're pros and we can team now. And we've also got Mark Briscoe. And he said it kind of like I just did. And she says, well, what are you going to do about the Callis family? And
the way you said it is, and I've used this reference before, the new Scooby-Doo meeting movies where they're driving through a town. Don yeah. Knotts.
Yeah. Mark Briscoe. So he says, what are you going to do about the Callis family? And she says, well, she says, there's people that I think have my back, but I'm not sure. But there's one person who I know does have my back. And that's when Willow wandered in. And then Mark Briscoe took over, and he got the best promo.
I adored this promo. I'm going to let you read whatever you wrote down.
But at
the same time, this promo was out of control in some way, and I'm trying to put my finger on it. It was almost as if they were. I think they were doing a live tape. And they said you have like 15 to 20 more seconds left, so you need. And he had kind of gotten to the point where he was wrapping up, but he had to then circle back and do part of the promo again.
I tried to write this down, but I was trying. I was captivated.
It was awesome. By the man. Every moment of it. I'm pumping my fist, going, Mark Briscoe is the most entertaining thing on AEW television, other than Brian Keith for me now.
Last week was in the past. You never get where you're going by looking in the mirror. And you know what this is? This is a conglomeration of unique individuals. Three men in dire straits on the other side. Roderick Strong, Konnu Sakimitekitekishita, and Kyle Sekou are in dire straits. Kyle O'Reilly, he's going to rip off your limb. Orange Cassidy's going to have his hands in his pockets, but he's a bad man. There's three bad bodies. And then you have the most dangerous, unpredictable man in pro wrestling. Only one thing I can do is you're going to get your ass whipped. And then Kyle O'Reilly's just staring at him in amazement. And he says, I'm so motivated. And he starts walking off. They should have cut the scene right there.
Yes.
Except they didn't. And then Renee says to Orange Cassidy, how are you doing? And he says, not doing so good. And then they cut, and it was like, oh man, it was just like it
no, just have everybody yeah. fired up and go. You don't need the Orange Cassidy yeah. punchline in that, man. No. That's the thing
the
that
Kyle would have been perfect with him. I'm so motivated, and he walks off,
and Orange Cassidy goes, yeah, motivated, and walks off. Just yes and it. Don't deny it. Yeah, there, that's an yeah. improv scene. Just do it.
Oh my god, but. Well, thank you. I'm glad people liked my
Mark. You sounded vaguely like someone from Santa Fork, Delaware.
Well, thank you. I'm Papa Briscoe, if anything. But no, I couldn't. I'm not. Yeah, I couldn't do him justice either. But yeah, it was amazing.
It was amazing. I loved this.
There was another amazing promo later. That
although we, I'm watching Renee the entire time, and she's just like, "What the hell have I gotten myself into?"
I mean, she was like, she didn't corpse. But I think she knew what she was.
She was close to corpsing. I mean, she was as close to corpsing as you can get without corpsing. But
yes, there was a promo I was watching. It might have been, I don't know if it was here, maybe it's on NXT, where there were two people talking and there was someone else in the screen and they were just trying to keep it together and they just couldn't. I don't mind
corpsing sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah, it might. You know what? It might have been Collision. It might have been because I've watched so much wrestling. I just watched the Collision from like June 1st with the Will Ospreay Kyle O'Reilly match, which, by the way, everyone raved about. Skip ahead to the last 5 minutes because everything before that was not great. But the last 5 minutes was the best 5 minutes you're going to see on TV all year. So I don't know. It was really cool. But anyways, anything else on that? Can we move?
Now we can move on because Mark Briscoe is awesome.
Yeah. Roosh against Dion Rushman.
This was also awesome in every way. Everything I ever want in a wrestling show was this Roosh match.
And it was not the best squash match we'd see tonight. But it was awesome. No, it was awesome. Whatever Dion Rushman got paid, it was not nearly enough. Roosh beat the living shit out of this kid for like, you know, a minute. But it probably felt like 30 to this poor guy. Apparently, he's called the Iceberg, and Tony Schiavone said the Titanic hit the iceberg and kept on moving. And Roosh just beat him from pillar to post, literally. He's beating on him outside the ring. He's calling out MGF while he's beating on him. And then finally, he just put him out of his mercy with the bull's horns. It was glorious.
I've won 2 hours of this sometimes for my Dynamite because
the other jobber match that we're going to talk about later, I said if we got 2 hours of that, it would be the best wrestling show I've ever seen.
You know what this was, and I've made this comparison before, I think, as well, in terms of what I want out of a professional wrestling show sometimes when I'm sitting down for a weekly one, is I want my guys to be stars. But this was Ron Garvin used to do these types of squash matches in Jim Crockett Promotions where he would just put guys in sugar holds just to F with them a little bit. You know, this was young local talent. All right, you got to take your beating. Kind of a thing. I love Roosh. I do, because he is the guy that just comes out and beats on you, and that's all I want to have a professional wrestler for the most part is that toughness.
Also keeping in mind that he was calling out MJF while he was doing it.
Yes.
So it reminded you what his feud is. So Tony Schiavone, after the match is over, he calls him one of the hottest wrestlers in AEW, and I don't mean his talent. Like, he's hot. Like, he's upset. So he goes to Justin Roberts, and he looks like he's going to beat the shit out of him, but he grabs his mic, tells the fans to shut up, goes back in the ring, puts his foot on the jobber's neck, and he says, typical American, like all of you, weak! And then he beats on the jobber some more. Crowd starts chanting for MJF, and then out comes MJF. His music hits. He immediately like throws his jacket off and comes down to the ring and just starts brawling with Roosh. He's got a bet on yourself black t-shirt on. These guys, they start brawling. The ref's calling for reinforcements. The security comes in. Both these guys are just beating the shit out of the security guards. Like,
it looked like Roosh may have broken his hand.
Oh my
god. During this time. I don't know.
Daniels was out there. He's trying to break it up and they're just ignoring him. They start brawling. Max bit him. Roosh dragged him out of the ring. Max tossed him over to barricade. They brawled through the crowd. Crowd's going nuts for all this. They go to the back through the curtain. They're like in catering or something. And there's a bunch of wrestlers around. Daniels is still out there trying to break it up. MJF put him through a table, starts pounding on him. Rouge hit him with a garbage can. Daddy Magic is out there trying to break it up. I saw Jacoby Watts, who I'm probably the only person watching that knew who that was.
No, because he was out later.
Well, he was out later. They didn't say who he was even when he came out later.
Yeah. Yes.
But he was the guy with the cowboy hat. And yeah, so I think I might have saw Scorpio Sky in there. I'm not sure. But I thought the brawl was pretty great, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good segment. And we're getting this match instantly next week.
I know. I thought for sure this was going to be Forbidden Door. Like, maybe we'll get some sort
I'm thinking non-finish.
Yeah. Or maybe Roosh wins, and then they do the rematch.
I'd be cool with that, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, they announced it. Excalibur, after they came back, Tony Khan announced it. Next week, kicking off the broadcast, commercial-free, MJF and Roosh. And they showed a video package from Saturday on Collision, where Joe and Hook went into the Premier Athletes locker room and beat the shit out of them, and that set up a match for tonight. Which,
shout out to Mark Sterling on his knees in prayer.
Yeah. Oh my God. And apparently Shibata.
Shibata's the cameraman. Yes.
Yeah, which some people didn't pick up on, and I didn't see it, but I heard about it. It was pretty good. And I thought that match was going to be next, but instead we got the match of the night, I thought. Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Mark Briscoe against Roderick Strong, Konosuke Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher. And
a cast again, of thousands on that heel side.
Yeah. I mean, we had Trent out there. We had Callis on commentary. We had the Kingdom out there. And these guys just went nonstop. They're through the commercial break. They're hot. I always point out, like, sometimes they go through a commercial break and they come back and the crowd's dead. When they came back here, they were hot. Like, these guys just never stopped. And this was your total party match. It was great. Everyone got to shine. They hit all their finishers. Kyle Fletcher actually hit the El Generico Brainbuster on Orange Cassidy. I thought that was interesting.
A different version of it, but yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he looked like he was going to do the suplex, and then he just dropped him, and the announcers were like shocked. And then Briscoe hit him with a missile drop kick. Roderick Strong broke that up. Then Kyle O'Reilly took him out with a guillotine. Briscoe went for the J driller, but he got hit by a forearm from Takeshita and a big knee. And then Fletcher hit Mark Briscoe with a pile driver and got the pin. ROH Television Champion. And people thought, oh, this is probably setting up, you know, Kyle Fletcher is going to challenge for the Ring of Honor title with Mark Briscoe. But they just did an angle last week on ROH TV where Kyle Fletcher is going to be defending the TV title against Lee Johnson. So unless they move that up, maybe they just do that on TV and they do the, you know, title for title. I'd be fine with that. Kyle Fletcher is the ROH champion. Would be fine. But I love this match. I thought it was great.
I liked it a lot. In the aftermath, I'm sitting there, I'm going, who was supposed to be built out of this match, though?
Kyle Fletcher.
Okay. Why not Takeshita?
I don't know, because he's probably not winning that ladder match.
Very, very, very weird. Yeah. And then it's like, and then all of a sudden the focus gets put on Willow Nightingale, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, I mean, after the match, yeah, they start doing the heel beatdown, and then Willow's music hits, and the heels are kind of looking like, okay, you're a woman and you're not stopping us.
Yeah, Trent just has it look like, am I going to have to punch a woman?
Yeah, and then, or else he knew what was coming, because instead of Willow running out there, it was Chris Statlander beating the shit out of Willow on the top of the stage. Stokely comes out with a mic and doesn't do comedy.
No. I mean,
not really.
Well, he is. He's saying, telling her to wake up.
Yeah, he's like, wake up, wake up. And he says, wake your ass up. And he says, well, I tried. And he says, when you go back and watch this, we got a message for you. Next time you get in our business, we're not going to be dragging you on the stage. We're taking you to the ER. And then he takes a pic of her.
I was cool with that.
Selfie. Yeah, no, it was, I mean, on the Stokely
scale. I think on the other side, we were supposed to really buy into the subtlety of the Kingdom holding back Kyle O'Reilly and keeping him out of harm's way.
They didn't really hit on that one too much, but
Tony mentioned it.
The stupid thing about this is, okay, they're still trying to recruit him, but they beat the shit out of him in the match, like before the match at Double.
Yes, it makes no sense. And Roddy would be a better fit for the Callis family than Trent ever would be.
Yeah, I mean, then they can bring the Kingdom into it. Doesn't matter. Those guys are useless.
I did like Callis's line, don't mess with Trent, he's a killer. I went, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
He loses all the time. Although losing all the time gets you into the Owen, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. So come back for break, and Renee's in a locker room with Ray Phoenix. He's getting ready for his match. And instead of interviewing him, I thought this was perfect. She says, I talked to him earlier, and he said he told me how he used to be a champion, but the championship was cut short due to injury. Told me he knows how good Will is, but he's one of one. So I thought this was great, because you don't want Ray Phoenix struggling through an interview, so you just have Renee pretend like she talked to him earlier. And
it also sells the Alex Abrahantes injury. Yes, this was very good.
Oh, I forgot that. When did he get injured?
Last week, I believe.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. But, all right.
In storyline, because that's what they were also... Well, I thought they were saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe I forgot. No, it's the international title. That's why Alex Abrahantes wasn't out there. I thought it was an injury thing. Never mind.
All right. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, because, No, they can interfere in the international. It's the continental.
No seconds allowed.
No, it's continental title. No,
they're all the same.
Allowed. No, they're not. I know my AEW.
Damn it.
We got a video package for Shingo Takagi, and this is kind of cool. He's declaring for the Owen Hart tournament. He says, I'm in America, and it was pretty cool. They showed a bunch of stuff. I mean, hey, great. You know, some people might not know who Shingo Takagi is, and now you do. And
I forget who he is sometimes.
Oh, well, there you go. He's great.
I don't watch a lot of New Japan, so yeah. It's nice to know.
I told you about this, and I don't know if you saw it. Did you find that match I told you to watch?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
So this match
was
from the best
watch.
Of the Super Junior tournament. It was from
March
31st.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I urge you all, if you have New Japan World, if you have ways to watch it, go watch this match. It's not a long match. It was Drilla Maloney against Ninja Mac. Ninja Mac's a flippy guy, right? He's on the indies. This was his big New Japan break. Drilla Maloney cuts this promo before the match. He's pissed. He's already eliminated from the tournament. He doesn't know why he has to do this match, but they're making him wrestle, so he's fine. I'm taking it on you. So he just beats the shit out of Ninja Mac. Ninja's doing all his flips. Finally, Drilla catches him outside the ring and gives him his Drilla Killer, which it doesn't matter what it is. If you've never seen a Drilla Maloney, it was a move called the Drilla Killer on the outside on the concrete.
Okay.
This dude is dead. And he gets back in the ring and he just sits there and he tells the ref, count him. And they have a 20 count in Japan. And so this ref's counting 1, 2. And they do the tease countouts all the time in New Japan, right? They'll get to like 18 and the guy will get up and he'll just start going. So they're doing. And as the count gets up, the announcer's 13, 14, 15. You know, they're getting all excited. As they get to 15, all of a sudden Ninja Mac's hand, he starts to twitch. And I'm like, oh no, he's going to get up. I'm like, and so he starts to twitch. 16, 17. And then his hand just drops. 18. 19, 20. This dude is dead. Like they have to bring out people, and then Drilla goes out and he's beating on him some more after the match. Like, but I thought it was so perfect because he didn't want to be there. He killed this poor dude and he left him for dead. And I just loved it. Anyways,
so what's the point of that story?
I don't know.
I'm sitting listening to it. I'm trying to go, why is he tying this into Dynamite for?
What were we talking about? We were talking about Shingo and...
Okay, Japan Shingo.
And,
okay, okay.
And so, yeah. So, anyways, go check out that match. And maybe you'll see a great Shingo match.
This is a Paul show after all, so... Yeah.
All right. Chris Daniels, this is that tape promo you were talking about.
Oh, my God. You know, less is more, Chris. I love Christopher Daniels, but I'm going to use my acting training now and tell you this monologue. And the thing that killed me is he started from profile position and he turned to the camera. I go, what is this crap right now that he's doing? Oh. And this is acting is what he was doing right here.
Next week, Tony Khan has decided the Elite, you're going to wrestle in eliminator matches. And if your opponents win, they get shots at either the tag team or the continental title match. Now, of course, Okada, you're used to wrestling with no seconds or no managers or no interference. Well, guess what? Tony Khan has decided that the Young Bucks, you too, we're going to have all seconds barred from ringside. No outside interference. No this, no that. He went on and on and on. And yeah, so the bottom line is Okada and the Bucks have eliminator matches next week. Mm-hmm. And whoever win, if the opponents win, they get a title match down the road. Which cool. actually could happen next week.
Believe yes.
me. Yeah. So next we go to Samoa Joe and Hook, and they're chatting backstage, getting ready for their match. And they did the WWE thing where they start backstage and they take you out to the runway or whatever the stage. And at one point in here, Joe called Hook Oos.
Yes.
So they're talking. You can't really.
He is a Joe that is Samoan.
He is. And I thought I heard a woman's voice. But I think it must have been Shibata's translator.
It was the phone.
Yeah. So I didn't quite. Yeah, I was trying to follow all this, but it was hard to hear because they were kind of like off mic. And but then they're almost in there, and then Joe told them to stretch, so they stretch. Then they cut to the to this ramp, and the athletes are waiting. Like they're gonna ambush these guys.
They're just ambivalent because they're soaking up the TV time on the ramp.
Yes, but they were watching the backstage because they were gonna jump these guys when they came out.
Like that were was they?
Their plan. Yes,
because they're looking at the audience, which is ridiculous. Well, okay,
their plan cool. was to ambush these guys, but instead Joe and Hook just come out and just start beating their ass. And Shibata, we find out, has been filming all this, and he's got a camera. And Mark Sterling is just going insane, and fans are chanting Joe is going to kill you. So the match starts. Joe is just pummeling Nice, and then eventually the heels briefly got the heat. Hook was selling, crowd died, but then that was done. Shibata wipes out Mark Sterling on the outside. Joe had a choke on Tony Nice. Hook puts the red rum on Daivari, and Daivari's like tapping, and the ref doesn't even see it. And then he brings him down to the ring, and then Daivari's like tap, tap, tap. And then Shibata's on the outside. He's got Mark Sterling. He's choking him. This was just beautiful. Like, I didn't do it justice. It was, again, it was like the Roosh match, maybe a minute and a half. But put this on a loop for 2 hours, and I'll watch it. Sir, just let me see a bunch of killers. Bring Miro back. Let him kill somebody for like 2 minutes. Let the House of Black go nuts on, you know, like those three Russian dolls that were wrestling on Collision a couple weeks ago. You know, the big, medium, and small.
Oh, and, KM and those other
yeah,
two.
Yeah, the two little short dudes. Yeah, like I just love this. This is like the wrestling I grew up on. I've actually been watching some of it, Wrestling Challenge, you know, with Brian and Vinny, and just seeing these. Jobbers yes. get the
no,
shit
I love squash them. Matches. I love real squashes yeah. where the guys just come out, murder death some people, cut 90-second yeah. promo, and get out of there.
Yeah, that's what this was, except we didn't get the promo, sadly, but we got it before the match.
Right.
So, yeah, it was beautiful. And Joe and Hook together, I mean, freaking belt these dudes. Like, they should be in that match. They should take out, the Acclaim should get injured, and Joe and Hook should step up for Team AEW. And Shibata. I'd be all for that. Like those guys in Blood and Guts, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you're not getting that.
I know.
I don't think.
Well, it'd be cool if we did. Or just take out the Acclaimed. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't like those guys anyway. Yeah, this is beautiful. This was my favorite squash. I liked it more than the Roosh match. Sounds like you might have liked the Roosh match better, but
I liked the Roosh match just a little bit better.
Yeah, but this was beautiful. Yeah.
Because I like Tony Nese overall. It's just he has no personality.
No, unfortunately. But you know what's funny? You say that. He kind of does. He just
yeah, I mean, he did when he was on 205 Live a little bit. He got to show a little bit of that. But yeah.
And on ROH, some of the promos they do. Someone earlier in here in the chat asked about Josh Woods, and I have no idea.
What I have
Josh
no idea. Woods
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even in ROH, he's not there. He's in the video packages, but he's not in the matches. So. We got video package for Stephanie and Mercedes at Forbidden Door. It was kind of cool. It was a lot of Stephanie Vaquer talking, and I guess we got our question. She does do English. It's, you know, not great, but not bad.
Yeah, fine enough.
I mean, you can understand her. She doesn't need subtitles.
Well, no, they gave her subtitles, though, so it was fine.
Yeah, but you don't need them, is what I'm saying. I don't like when they do subtitles when you can actually understand what the people are saying. I find it kind of demeaning, but anyways, it doesn't matter. It was a good video package. And the gist of this was, and they set this up on Collision, I guess, that Mercedes is defending the TV title tonight against Zeuxis, who is Stephanie Vaquer's tag team partner in CML. In fact, they are the women's champions in CML. So they had this match, And I was expecting, you know, a good match. And Mercedes was going to go over strong and set up her title match with Stephanie Vaquer. And, you know, that's, you know, figure, you know, Zeuxis is one and done. We're not going to see her again. You know, this is just a setup. Instead, what we got was
Mercedes. Vader versus Sting.
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. And with, no, it's like Luger versus Flair. Kind of.
Okay.
You know, like Luger is Zeuxis beating the shit out of Flair for 90% of the match. You know, Mercedes got her spots in, and then, you know, Zeuxis kicked out of some stuff that I wasn't expecting her to kick out of. Zeuxis is very good, I thought. You know, they mostly wrestled Zeuxis' match. It was a lucha match with some power, and Zeuxis is very, not fat at all.
No, she's
but
thick.
Just a large woman, like, yeah. You know, just big.
I had forgotten I had seen her before.
Okay.
She was in the second Mae Young Classic.
Oh, okay.
And she looked a lot better here than she did there. She wrestled the person who'd become Big Swole first round, beat her.
Yeah,
and, then,
yeah.
And then she lost to Io in the second round.
Okay.
And no, she was great in this match.
Yeah, she was
to
awesome.
The point where I thought she might win.
Well, I didn't think she was going to win, but I'm like, as I'm watching, I'm just like, this is weird. This is not what I was expecting. But you know what? Like, Mercedes was great. They didn't botch anything.
Mercedes
there.
Showed why she is still possibly the best in-ring female wrestler.
Well, around. American, anyways.
American, yes. Okay.
People say she's
stardom. People can fight me. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know because I don't watch it, so I'm not going to say she's better than Stardom because I don't watch it. So she might be, she might not be. I don't know.
I mean, but, she held this match together. I mean, it almost fell apart in a couple places, but it didn't. But
the crowd was kind of dead for most of it. But
they wanted to see her dominate, and this was exactly. Not it. This was her working right. From underneath.
Yeah. They did announce during this, they ran down Forbidden Door, what we have so far, which is Mercedes and Stephanie Vaquer, Moxley and Tetsuya Naito for the IWGP title, Orange Cassidy versus Zack Sabre Jr. So those are the three matches that we have official. And then, you know, we have that TNT match and, you know, probably some other stuff. Will Ospreay and Swerve, obviously, for the AEW title. So, you know, those cards coming together, it's what? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 2.5. But yeah, I thought this match was really good. Again, yeah, like you say, I mean, it was, this is why they signed Mercedes. I always said before Mercedes was signed, this isn't about ticket sales and it's not about TV ratings. It's about making this division better. And
you that's know what would Mercedes make me right. A happy boy?
I don't.
If you if we could get some combination either as opponents or as a team. Of Zeuxis, Emi Sakura, and Queen Aminata.
Ooh.
I'm here for this, man.
Queen Aminata and Zeuxis would have a hell of a match.
So would Emi Sakura and Zeuxis.
Oh, God. I mean, put that on Rampage. Just do it. Like, Tony, right now, if you're listening, just book it. You know, you're taping it right now. Just throw them out there.
That's or what ROH. I want a female Hoss match.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they've done them before.
Yes.
In here, yeah. I finally saw Queen Aminata again. I was wondering where she was, but she's back in ROH.
Yeah, she and I believe Red Velvet are a unit.
Yeah, they're going after Billy Starks and
which I'm cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine at the ROH pay-per-view we're going to see Red Velvet and Athena and Queen Aminata and Billy Starks would be.
Well, Jeff Hawkins is a Red Velvet fan, so I'm happy that she has something to do.
Yep. And Kyle Fletcher and Lee Johnson and Mark Briscoe against whoever Tony decides to book him against.
All right. This is not a Ring of Honor show. Let's keep going. All
right. Well, it's AEW. We got a video package for Mina Shirakawa. I assume this is the thing that aired on social media this week.
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I wrote.
Boobs? Is that what you wrote? Because that's what it was.
I wrote, she's shaking her boobs. Mm-hmm. She's a 5-time stardom champion, singles, tags, trios. Mariah's posing in the background. Mina says, I have a colorful and exciting entrance, and I'm also very sexy. And Mariah says that Mina are former stardom tag team champions. They show them making out. Mariah says, but when the switch flips, she's one of the most dangerous women in all of professional wrestling. Mina says she came to America to take over, and I want everything. They nail it pretty much.
I believe they also had an old Stardom picture when Jesse Elabon was still part of Club Venus.
I think she still is. Oh, I don't know.
Like, no, she had an excursion. She hasn't been back.
I undersold the boobs. I mean, the boobs.
Yes,
you ordered.
This is an angle about boobs, and yes. And this is weird. This is so weird because the line between exploitative and empowerment cannot be walked by middle-aged white men such as ourselves, no. Paul.
And I've been a part of and viewing a bunch of conversations about this. There's a thread on the F4W board about it that I weighed in on, which was not a smart idea. Like there are people on both sides of this, and nobody's going to convince.
And everybody's an idiot about it, probably.
Yeah,
so,
because they don't really know. I just.
Sex is a part of wrestling, and if you don't admit to it, it's fine. But I don't want to hear any crap about, well, you're not giving them enough credit for their talent. It's I'm giving them plenty of credit for their talent. But this angle is about boobs.
Yeah, they're not selling talent.
They're selling the lesbian love triangle.
Yes,
they're selling sex.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's good. Like it's for what
fine,
it is.
But it's one of those things where it's like I don't need the socio-political mumbo jumbo, and I don't need to say that I'm dismissing this thing as something that it's not or something to that effect. And I'm not going to be scolded about, but I'm also not going to go boobs, you know, that kind of thing.
I've seen this angle on a million sitcoms.
Yes,
and except the difference is it's usually two people of the same sex and a third person of a different sex. It's not usually three people of the same sex. That's the difference.
Yes. Yeah.
This is every episode of Three's Company that ever aired. So that cuts into a video package, a black and white with Tony, Mariah May, and Luther. Tony's petting Mariah like a dog. Mariah thanked her for entering her into the Owen Hart tournament. She says, Mina's back next week and she wants to do a contract signing. And she says, I'm going to host it. And then Renee informs Tony that she has a match on Rampage against Alex Windsor. And she calls herself the wide load that holds the gold, and did the tits and shoe line. The wide load that holds the
her
gold.
Her tits were out, and she watched for the shoes. I laugh. Go back, if you can, to collections of these things, and just watch Mariah May sell it.
Okay.
She's fantastic.
The tits and shoes line?
No, just any of these off-color things that Toni Storm says. She's... Mariah's doing a very good job of acting here because she sells it every time they put emphasis on it. It's pretty remarkable.
She's good. I mean,
she has acting chops. She was training to be an actress over in England before she got into wrestling. So yes,
her voice, she talked more here than she usually does.
Yes.
And her voice kind of struck me. Like when Tony does the voice, it's obviously put on. You know, like she's doing an English accent, but she's actually Australian or from New Zealand or whatever. But I think Australian actually. But Mariah, I mean, that's her accent, and it's just kind of weird because it's natural. And I'm expecting her to be American, like she looks American. So it's it's just kind of weird. Anyways,
I get it. It's kind of like the Robert Palmer effect.
Okay,
Robert Palmer, you always expect to be.
Yeah.
He was big into the blues and all this other stuff. I mean, expect him to be, you know, kind of Southern, but then he's a Brit. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Phil Collins, another one.
Phil Collins, another one.
All right. I just wrote down three words. Learning tree segment.
All right. So Bill introduces Jericho as the Michael Jordan of Michael Jordans. Got a laugh out of me. Jericho comes down. He says that his new t-shirt just hit the stores 15 minutes ago, and he had one. It's a learning tree shirt, whatever. Brings up Private Party. Private Party comes out, and Jericho basically says, I'm doing this by memory, by the way. I don't have any notes, so I apologize. I forgot to take notes for it.
I told you last week you're going to have to.
I know that, but you didn't remind me. You got to remind me of these things.
Jason reminded you.
Shut up.
And you liked it.
Quiet, Paul. he asks. That's the other thing. There's a point here where Brian Keith says that they're talking about corn that's growing in Iowa. Oh no, that's the Jericho calls himself like the Caitlin Clark of wrestling or something like that to get the cheap pop or whatever. And Brian Keith says that, you know, they can grow corn out here, but better respect Jericho. Just got a laugh out of me. So Private Party comes out doing doing the shot stuff and whatever, and Jericho looks at him and looks at them and goes, I don't know who trained you, but you were trained incorrectly on how to get to the top rope. And Private Party goes, well, you know what? That's very interesting because we can give you a lesson on how we learned how to do it or whatever. So, or you could teach us. That's what it was. You could teach us how to do it properly. And so Jericho goes to the top rope, etc., and eventually gets knocked down from the and the attack is on, and they throw people out of the ring, etc. Brian Keith has a magical moment here where he gets thrown out of the ring and his hat's on the apron, and before all the high spots he takes the hat to save it. It was amazing. It made me laugh so much. But yeah, basically Private Party got the upper hand, and that was the end of the segment.
So this is basically just setting up a match.
Pretty much.
All right. Hang on.
It was entertaining. It was short. It was fine. Jericho was the butt of the joke. He was over the top during the rest of it.
I'm gonna try something here. Hang on.
You need to watch it.
Hang on. Here we go. This is what I saw.
Okay. This is a visual joke on an audio medium where Paul is fast forwarding through a Jericho segment because he doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Oh, I can shut that off now.
I was raised on radio, Paul. It's all about the verbal.
Well, we're a video medium now too. So.
Okay.
All right, I've tweeted that out too. So if you're on audio, you can go to my Twitter and you can see it.
Yes, Paul is telling you all he doesn't watch these segments.
And as you saw at the very end of that, there was a video package for the Jon Moxley Tetsuya Naito match, and it was fine. It was just a bunch of stuff. Moxley talking, and he's going to retain the title, and he's probably losing the title. It's going to be at Forbidden Door. The consensus is that he's probably losing that belt, and the whole title reign was a waste of time.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he defended against two young guys in Evil, and then he's going to lose it back to the guy he beat.
He's going to lose it to Evil or Naito?
No, he already beat Evil.
Oh,
he's
going
to lose it back to Naito, who is the guy he beat originally to win it. So,
okay. Yeah.
They got a couple nice gates out of it. So that's good. He barely wrestled in Japan while he held it, which is actually part of the storyline. Tetsuya Naito is trying to win the belt back for New Japan because Jon Moxley's been holding the belt hostage. So that's it. All right. The Guns and Juice Robinson
were with
Card Blade. One of the guns said it's the 1 year collision anniversary. They challenged the House of Black, and then they said, oh, what is it that you guys do? Oh, lights out. So they do the lights out, and then the lights were out for a really long time. And I thought, oh, when they come back on, House of Black's going to be there and they're going to surprise them. But no, it was just, they said, so we're 3/4 of the Trios champs and you're not the Reapers of the Trios division. And then Juice Robinson starts talking and he challenged him to a match. He said, Collision is the house of the Bang Bang Gang. It was built on Youngstown, Ohio. This town isn't big enough for the both of us. He put a hole through Card Blade. I'm not doing this justice. Juice Robinson
was an absolute maniac during this thing.
He is Randy Savage before WWE is what he is.
There's this weird thing in wrestling, Paul, where wrestling couples will start to kind of do the same thing at the same time. And Tony Storm and Juice Robinson must be somehow in the back going, all right, how can I make this character bigger? And asking for advice. It's kind of like when
Seth Rollins and Becky. Yeah,
Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins started going, okay, who can put on the most outrageous outfit and not laugh themselves to death when they walk out there? Yes, this is a can you top this between those two?
Yeah, and they're both doing it. Like,
yes.
Juice was insane. Like, he's like, I don't.
Juice has decided he's going to be like a 1980s coke-addled wrestler out of.
He's Randy Savage pre-WWF.
Yeah, like I would say that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly who he is. And I mean, they're both from Chicago, too. So you kind of got that accent. I mean, it's kind of nutty. And yeah, and it's weird that he kind of destroyed the Card Blade.
He's everything Jack Perry should be as part of the Elite.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Juice Robinson was in there instead of Jack Perry?
It'd be awesome.
I know. that, so they finish this segment and then we go to the ring, and it's Daniel Garcia being introduced, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Is he having a tag match with Shibata or something? Like, I don't remember Daniel Garcia being announced for a match. And so they, you know, they do the intro, they talk about him a little bit, and then as he gets to the ring, we see a gentleman in the ring who, you know, you might not know who he is because he hasn't been on TV in a while. I believe they introduced him as Nick Camarado.
Nick Camarado doing his 1970s superstar Billy Graham look, and he looks awesome.
Yeah, he looks like $1 million. He looks like a world champion, except he's a jobber.
Yes.
And there's a gentleman at ringside in a suit and a cowboy hat that they do not identify.
No,
and I pointed this out on Twitter. Because I said, I find it hilarious that there's a guy out there that they don't even tell us who he is. And I have people responding to me, telling me who he is. I know it's Jacoby Watts. I watch Ring of Honor. I'm a Ring of Honor historian. but they don't tell us who he is. And there's no way anybody could know. And is this what he said? Sorry, I'm going back to the juice.
No, I think he's just
quoting a movie. Okay, in Youngstown. Yeah, because Juice brought up Youngstown. Yeah. They have this match. I mean, it's just Danny Garcia just, you know, beat him. Like, that's it. And yes. he's been doing these matches on Ring of Honor where he's tagging with Jacoby Watts, except Jacoby Watts never tags in, and Nick Camarado just gets his ass beat by tag teams for like 7 minutes.
It doesn't matter, because this part was actually pretty good in that they have both Ospreay and MJF watching Garcia.
I didn't notice MJF doing it.
Yeah, they did. They shot him watching the TV, watching him watch Garcia.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's interesting, because I saw Ospreay watching it, but I didn't see MJF. That's kind of interesting. So they're already teasing MJF and Ospreay. So Garcia won with a guillotine.
Well, no, they're teasing MJF and Garcia.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay, all right. That's weird. I think what's going to happen here is Will Ospreay is running himself ragged, and he's going to lose the title because they're in Buffalo the Dynamite before Forbidden Door. I have a feeling Garcia might win that international title right before Ospreay's title match with Swerve.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's not the worst idea in the world. And
it's not the best either.
Okay, well. although they could just go in there and beat him in his hometown.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. Poor Nick Camarado. If I wake up tomorrow and find out he got cut, I wouldn't be surprised.
Neither would I. And I also wouldn't be surprised if the other place picked him up.
Yeah. Well, he was in developmental for a little while, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I believe he was. Cause I remember when I first saw him on like Dark, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's like $1 million. Like he's a good worker. He's got a great look. Just book him like a jobber. I don't get it, but. He probably can't do a promo, but that's what managers are for. Renee walks up to Ospreay backstage watching TV. She asks him how he's doing. You've been defending this title all over the place. My body's fine. He said, I'd love to sit here and talk about how sick of a wrestler Danny Garcia is, but I got a match to do and I got a contract to deliver. So that was that. I got to go back and watch that because I don't remember seeing MJF. So I got to figure out what's
going on. He was standing there watching that. He had ice on his hand from the fight.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I without having seen it, I disagree. I think that that's to tease MJF Ospreay, not MJF Garcia, but I'll let you know more when I watch it again. So then we get a Pac promo. So this was interesting. This is a great promo, but I have an issue with it that I will talk about when I'm done recapping it. He says, loss after loss, failure after failure, I've been extorted and trotted on by every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's humiliating. I feel like a bitch. The good news is that it ends now. I'm done with apathy. I'm angry. And I'm at my very best when I'm angry. So here's what's going to happen. I'm entering the Owen Hart Cup. I'm winning the Owen Hart Cup. And I'm claiming my world title opportunity at Wembley. I'll be damned if a talent of my caliber never gets his Wembley moment. Oh, and by the way, Bang Bang Billy Gang, don't think we forgot about what you did to us. The Death Triangle never forgets. So, back-to-back weeks, we've had two pretty impassioned promos from two guys who both entered the Owen and are vowing to win it. The crux of the point of both of these promos is that they're both losers. Why are losers fighting for a world title shot?
Because it's the Owen. And Owen was a loser.
Owen was a loser. Oh, my gosh. He's my favorite wrestler of all time, but you're not wrong.
I saw high energy. I know what's going on.
One of my favorite Owen promos was when Brett lost and Owen had just won the King of the Ring, and he says, "You're a loser and I'm a king." I love that.
I am not a nugget.
Yeah, I'm not a nugget. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, you're not wrong. Holy shit. I didn't even think of that. There's the answer. Okay.
This is for the underappreciated work rate guys who are losers.
Yeah.
Just like Owen would have won.
Yeah, he's watching Dynamite. Kyle O'Reilly's next. Brian Keith, Commander. Like, let's get them all in there.
Brian Keith was wonderful tonight. I will not hear such slander. He's a winner now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because he's not taking the pins in these trios matches that the Learning Tree has.
Oh, he's definitely taking the pins. These statements don't have a lasting effect.
The only other comment I had about this promo was he talked about championship opportunities and his Wembley moment, which I guess is like the WrestleMania moment. Like, you can take the guy out of WWE. But
there are people who want Wembley moments.
Oh,
Emi Sakura is one of them.
I know. I believe me. I mean, it made when this promo is over, it's like, this makes total sense.
Yes.
Pac wins the tournament, gets his world title shot at Wembley. That's great. Mm-hmm. But I just thought the same thing last week about Bryan Danielson. So now I'm torn, which I guess is good. Like, we have two very viable winners. Maybe they're going to face, and I actually think neither one of these guys are winning it. You know who I think's winning this tournament?
Who?
Hangman Page.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then, you know, and that could set up the Blood and Guts thing too. You know, because he'll be gearing up for a match. And maybe he gets the pin over Swerve or submits Swerve at Blood and Guts, and that sets up the world title match at Wembley. I'm booking for Tony here. I know he watches. How'd you like this promo?
I love Pac promos. It's just always the same thing every time. I lost and I'm angry. I lost and I'm angry again. Lost and I'm angry. King of the Cruiserweights.
I'm an angry troll.
I'm an angry little man who loses all the time, but this time I'm coming back with hate, so I'll be a winner. But I won't, because I'll lose again.
I'm entering the Owen. I'm winning the Owen. Yeah, it was pretty good, though. So, and it was dark. And spooky, kind of. Not really.
I did like him going, "I'm no longer a bastard, I'm a bitch," type of a thing. That was a good play on words.
Yeah. Good news is it.
But yes, I want, you cut a promo like this, and then I want to see the anger. I want to see it in his work. I don't want to just see him doing great pack matches. I want him to see him, you know, be the bastard. I want to see him trying to hurt people with his offense and stuff, and I don't think I'm going to get that far. I think I'm going to get good matches out of him, which is fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, it'd be cool if he won. I just don't know that he will. I saw people thinking that he should win, and yeah, I mean, after this promo, it sure makes sense, but...
Ricochet may win this thing.
I don't know if he's going to be in time to win it, but yeah, I mean, that'd be cool too.
He wasn't cut. There's no non-compete.
No, but we don't know when the contract's over.
That's true, too.
Yeah. So that brings us to our main event. Will Ospreay and Rey Fénix. Tony Schiavone told us we have an overrun. The match started with 14 minutes of TV time left. So, you know, I guess they knew that was going to be going long. We got AEW chance before they even locked up. They're just going a mile a minute to start, which is basically the exact opposite of that Kyle O'Reilly match I talked about earlier. And, you know, so they're just doing a bunch of stuff. And then they go to break and they come back with 8 minutes left. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, we're going to get to see most of this match and they're going to have time to build an audience. And you know, this will be really good. And they did their rundown of matches. So Rampage is Tony Storm and Alex Windsor. Saturday is going to be the Blackpool Combat Club against
this match.
Rocky Romero, Leo Rush, and TMDK. Don't ask me which of the... I think there's 9 members of TMDK. I don't know which...
Haste and...
Is it Hayston Nichols?
Okay. Nichols, yeah.
They're the
original TMDK.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bang Bang Gang against
you know before class. Before Shane Haste goes back to WWE to be Slapjack again.
No, I think he likes where he is. And then Christian has a Father's Day celebration, which
God, I'm so hyped for that.
They pulled Nick Wayne from an Reno, Mexico match to do this segment
for a Triple Mania match. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I don't know. And yeah, so that's all. And then Blood and Guts is going to be Wednesday, July 24th in Nashville at the Bridgestone Arena. So they're booking a big arena for this show. And then next week on Dynamite, MJF and Rouge commercial free, which Excalibur mentioned about 100 times on this show. And Bucks will be facing the Acclaimed in an eliminator match. So if the Acclaimed beats the Bucks, which could happen, they get a title match down the road. So, and obviously probably setting up the Blood and Guts thing, or maybe they're going to injure them too, because the whole thing is they're taking people out. That's my hope. They're going to injure them, and then we're going to get another team, maybe Motor City Machine Guns.
That's, oh God, fighting for the spirit of AEW coming in.
Yeah, why not?
On the first, no. I'd rather have Joe and Hook.
I would love to have Joe and Hook.
Is anybody going to mourn the loss of the Acclaimed not being in Blood and Guts, though? That's the funny part is doing an injury angle on guys that we won't weep for if their replacement are better.
Well, that's the whole point, right?
Well,
yeah. I mean, Garcia.
Nonsense. The Acclaimed are the spirit of AEW, Paul, and I won't hear any different.
All right. So anyways, they do a second commercial break with 4 minutes left. So we're like, you know, like I said, 10 minutes into this match, like 8 of it was in commercial, and I'm just like, it completely took me out of the match. They come back, there's a minute left on the show. They were getting This Is Awesome chant, so I'm assuming the match was good live, but I mean, what we saw on TV, it was like basically nothing. They did a few cool things, a snapping Rana by Phoenix and a thrust kick. Osprey went for a hidden blade and they like collided in midair, and then they showed Swerve watching from ringside, and then Osprey went to the top and just, he did exactly what Swerve does, except like waited three times as long while Phoenix just stood there waiting.
Phoenix just stood there, waving. He should have waved his arms up like he was like in front of a car thing like that.
Yeah. And he did the Swerve stomp. And, you know, Brian Alvarez always says that Will Ospreay does everyone's move, but does it better than them.
Not here.
This is the exception that proves the rule. Yeah.
Boy, although he did it much safer than Swerve. I'll give him that.
This is true. Yeah. Cause he completely hit the mat.
Yes.
And then he did his hidden blade, and I think it was just a bad camera angle, but the hidden blade didn't come close. You know, the angle they showed, and then he pinned him, and that was it. And he just pinned him, like no kickouts, like you usually get in these matches. Like this was just a decisive win. Like,
you know, I get the stealing the move part. Mm-hmm. But stealing the worst move that Swerve does.
Yeah.
Why not just do the sidekick?
And or then the house blade. Call. Or, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess because he could pose and stare at
Well,
Swerve.
Yes. That's what it was for the TV. Yeah. And he could point and go, whose house? And do that whole. This was Stanford-esque.
And this was twice on the show that an opponent did the whose house thing.
Yes.
And the fans, you could tell, there's probably a lot of fans that wanted to say, Osprey's house or Will's house, you know, or whatever. And then when Okada, like, I bet you the whole building, if they thought of it at the same time, would have said, Okada's house, you know, like, it's my house.
Although, the other part that's interesting to me is that they are trying very hard to keep Will Ospreay as a babyface here, and he's acting like a dickhead.
He is. And then the other thing, someone definitely brought this up earlier. Where was it here? I could put the quote up if I can find it, but it was basically they're asking like, oh, here it is. BB, unclear, did Don Ospreay break up and I missed it, or are they just skipping over it?
Yes. And then I gave an incorrect answer because I thought because of the international title, I thought seconds weren't allowed at ringside,
and that's not it at all.
Oops. No, my fault. I'm sorry,
they just forgot about it. You know, I guess the whole point, I guess, is now Will's a babyface, except he's kind of,
except he's a jerk.
Yeah. So Swerve gets in the ring. Will offered him a handshake, and Nana's got the contract. So I guess the contract got delivered.
This handshake, though, he has this big crap-eating grin while he's doing it, and Swerve's just not having any of it. I'm just like going, just punch him, Swerve. Just punch him. But so, instead, it's like I want to maintain the friendship type of
so
stuff.
So they got no microphones, but the camera can pick up the audio, and because the crowd's dead, he said, Swerve says, "You think this is a game? You think I'm playing with you? This is your life you're playing with. You're still that immature little child you were 10 years ago.
True.
You keep up with these matches. You can't hold both worlds on your shoulders. You're not strong enough." And then Ospreay grabbed the title from him, and he looked at both belts, puts the belts on his shoulders. Swerve looks got a look that can kill. And Will says to him, he says, "I do feel like carrying both belts." We got a very light Ospreay two belts chant. And then Swerve grabs his title back, and he says, "You're lucky we're still friends. Anyone else who did this, I'd put them in the grave." And Ospreay just points at the Forbidden Door sign. I will say, Will Ospreay to this point in AEW has been like a superstar. Like, he's done almost no wrong. Every promo has been great. Every match has been great. This is like the first time that he felt like he was down a bit of a peg. And I don't know why. I don't know what it was. I don't know if maybe he wasn't feeling it or what.
Because Swerve was far more intense here. And
yeah, it's usually the other way around. Usually Swerve's the guy that gets outshone. But that didn't happen here.
Yeah, and in fact, I would have had Swerve go maybe a half inch more and maybe grab him by the throat before realizing what he was doing, being so angry.
Yeah, maybe not pulls him off.
Saying you don't realize this isn't a game type of a thing, because Ospreay was basically doing Tom Cruise's Maverick in Top Gun, and I get it. And okay. It's kind of, you know, he's still the good guy, the hero, but he's the cocksure fighter pilot here. And the point of this scene should have been for Swerve to put the fear of God in him. To me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that happened, because all he did was kind of smile and point to the sign type of thing. And I was like, no, what you needed was Ospreay to be a little bit concerned after this, I think. But that's me.
I have a feeling we're going to get Don Callis, you know, after this is going to
back for the Will to have the official split.
Well, he's going to come back and say, you know, I watched that segment and, you know, like, you know, you needed me out there or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then that'll lead into whatever happens. I was thinking that they were
going to do a draw. Because I think this is leading to Will and Trent somehow.
Ooh, weird. I was thinking that they were going to do a draw at Forbidden Door, and now I'm thinking Swerve's winning. I'm pretty sure Swerve's winning the match. I don't think Ospreay's winning the title at Forbidden Door anymore after this.
No, and I think the Callis family costs him.
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah, absolutely. And then I do think, like, if that is what's going to happen, I think it makes sense to have Garcia pin Ospreay and win that international title on the if I'm right, in Dynamite's in Buffalo the week before, because then you could also have Garcia challenge Swerve for the title. You could have Garcia MJF, like you talked about.
It fits better if it's the week after, though, you know?
It might be. I'd have to look it up, but I mean, Will's,
like, if it's
Will's,
the,
we'll
like if it's 2 to 3 days after Forbidden Door, yeah, and Will's given everything to get the world title and he fails, and then Garcia walks in and beats him in Buffalo, that'd be awesome.
That might be. I mean, we'll know, because the next time we'll be back together will be that show. So if it's in Buffalo, that's when we'll know. So that was Dynamite. I thought it was a pretty good show.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how people felt about me reviewing it, but I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I'll let you do your plugs, and then I'll talk about what's going on with us next week.
I probably will not be here next week. It's going to be a game. It's going to be a game time decision, because I'm going to be in Vegas playing in the World Series of Poker, a couple of smaller events. So, awesome. Waste that money, Hawkins. But you can follow me at Crap Game 13. I do a show called Shake Them Ropes with Chris Novembrino this week. We're going to do the fallout from NXT Battleground. Chris really wants to get on Vic Joseph about using the term Manifest Destiny in the Eddie Thorpe match last night. So he has some thoughts on NXT as well. And we'll also preview Clash at the Castle, a very Scottish heavy card that will lovely be on Saturday morning. Thank goodness. Get that out of the way and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
And as well, I will almost certainly not be here next week. As a lot of you probably know, and I think I mentioned it last week, my daughter Emily is having surgery on Monday. It's a very major surgery. She's going to be in the hospital for possibly a week, at least 4 days. So my wife and I will be like, you know, one of us will be in the hospital, one of us will be home, we'll be back and forth. And so I mean, I don't have time to watch Dynamite, let alone review it. I should be okay for the following week because Emily will be home and we'll be kind of back to normal as she's recovering. So that's what's happening with us next week. So there'll be somebody here. Maybe Jeff. We'll probably try and ask Kevin. We're asking him on the air right now. He'll find out when he listens. But we'll, you know, we'll message him. But either way, we got a great team here at Fight Game, and a lot of people like doing this show. So there'll be somebody here next week. So this weekend, I'm going to be tweeting something out probably on Sunday. And Emily is a big wrestling fan, as a lot of you know. And I think the wrestling community, even though we can all be dicks to each other at times, we are really good at coming together for things. And I'm not asking anybody for money. We don't need any money. You know, everything's fine. It's covered. It's Canada. It's free healthcare and all that. But I would like to do something for Emily. So I'm going to be sending out a tweet asking people to take a moment and send her a message, whether you want to write it down, record a video. If you write it down, I'll read it to her. If you record a video, I'll play it for her as she's recovering, and she'll get to find out what great people all these wrestling fans are. And I think it could be really nice for her as she's recovering. So I'm going to be sending that out. Check out my Twitter at Paul Ace Fontaine. And hopefully, you know, some wrestlers will do it. And, you know, if enough word gets out, I got some friends in the business and stuff. So if enough people see it, tweet it, it could be pretty cool. So, yeah. So I'll be back in a couple of weeks. And till then, tune in next week for somebody and all the great stuff on Fight Game. For Jeff Hawkins, I'm Paul Fontaine, and this has been The Dynamite Show.